The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Not real strong tonight, but we're still the voice of the Christian resistance. And this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. And boy, do we need to hear from you folks now. Because guess what? At Christmas time, when it's a time of giving, and that's good. Often, with all the giving to the families and that, they forget about us people here on the radio. And, they don't forget about billing us. So we really need to hear from you. Especially now, because Pastor Joe and I, we're two old fellows, two old preachers that are definitely under the weather. So there we go. We got back in the boiler room. We got Eric and Randy here behind the glass over here on that board where he belongs. We got Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And sitting here just waiting and waiting and waiting to say hello. We have Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, now get out of here. Get back in there, okay? And so we have with us here to see if she can help me get through this night and survive none other than Nurse Elaine Connolly.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay. She's the lady, folks, that you call when you have questions about the vax, the poisonous poke, the mRNA, or the... or shedding, all these things you keep calling it and asking me about. But she's the nurse. A very, very good one, too. A very good one. And she has all those answers. So when you want to get to the bottom of it, you can call Elaine. Elaine, she is with Interactive Health Consultants. So president of Wealth and Wellness Journey. And so you can call her with all those medical questions at 440-478-4073.
And also, Pastor, you know, I've been getting calls, people looking for a doctor that will interact with them in their area because their traditional medical staff is not helping them. And then also, you know, how to obtain certain supplements that you need when you get sick.
All right. Very good. Again, folks, this is a... Pledge Week, and the phone lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Way out in Missouri, we have none other than that parson, Joe Larson.
I'm starting to be able to talk, so hopefully we'll make it through the night. Just remind everybody that 281-1110 is the credit card line.
And so, you know, Joe,
if you want to donate my credit card.
How is it that you and I come down with this at the same time?
I got it before you did.
Yeah, I think you got me by a couple of days.
days. I don't know. We're miles apart. We didn't hug. We didn't shake hands. We didn't ride in the same car. I don't know. We're just lucky, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's just the luck of the draw, huh? All right, way out yonder in Denver, Colorado, we have Ken Cromer. Hey, Ken.
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are the two good pastors doing today besides not being able to talk?
Well, we'll make it through. I've been doing this for 50 years, so I got to put on a smile and try to survive it tonight. Seems like
good,
the older I get, the harder it is when you get these things, right?
Yes.
All righty. Well, it's good.
There.
It's good to have you with us. We're going to be getting into the Bible study, and then here at the bottom of the hour, we have Lloyd Brunson joining us, and he has a case there, the Brunson brothers are suing the members of Congress, Vice President Pence, and the resident Biden, Kamala Harris, of dereliction of duty and breach of national security.
Yes.
Congress refused to investigate the possible election interference and fraud. They're maintaining that Congress members have violated their oath of office. Sure they have. They want the immunity to be stripped from these representatives who violated their oath of office. If the court agrees, these individuals can be removed from their office and not allowed to take office ever again. 388 members of Congress, Pence and Biden and Harris also. So, you know, today I watched the so-called January 6th panel or committee that they had. And, you know, I've listened to these people, and they are such outright liars. I'm going to tell you, it was almost like the Democrats said, look, we really need to get some people that will look you in the eye and just lie through their teeth. And, boy, that's exactly it. It's like they went to the and knocked on the gates of hell and asked Satan to send out their best liars. I watched that committee, the accusations they made. And again, anyone and everyone that says that election was not stolen is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them. And you know what? I'd like to see, Elaine, I'd like to see every single one of them on that panel, that January 6th panel, every single one of them go to that same dirty jail, in that same dirty jail where the Christian patriots, where their betters are, where real true Christian patriots of America are. These people, every one of them, are traitors. They're traitors, everyone on that panel, everyone.
Yeah, that's very true, and they are very good at lying, and their basic premise is tell a lie long enough, and it becomes a truth in some people's minds, but it's pure evil, evil.
Absolutely. We're going to fight to our very last breath. We can't let them get away with us, and we can't. We've got to help Carrie Lake out there in Arizona, too. Very important. She's a real lady. I love that woman. I've never met her, but she is a lady, a real lady. And so with that, we're going to get into our scripture. The title of the message was Christmas, Where It All Started and How It Led to the Savior's Birth. And we're going to start in the oldest passage, the passage of scripture that predates in content, every other passage of Scripture. And if you ask most people which that is, they'll all say Genesis 1, but it's not. It's actually the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And so, Joe, would you read verses 1 through 5, and then let's go back and take them apart, take those verses apart.
Sure. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Well, here now, before we really get into taking a look at the scripture, just imagine, close your eyes. If I do that, I'll fall asleep right now. But just imagine a universe that was totally void of any and all substance. No stars, no planets, no moons, just never-ending emptiness. This is where it all began, okay? Now imagine an entity that had no beginning and no end, that always existed, that had no limitations, that had complete knowledge of everything that would ever come into existence. He would create something called a universe. Now, in that universe, here, but before he created the universe, he created time. And if you ask most people what the definition of time is, most people really don't know. And a lot of them think time's just a magazine. But it's not. I happen to know. Do you know what? Well, let's ask Elaine. Hey, Elaine, what is time?
Time was created by God when he created the world.
Time is a measurement. It's a
Correct.
Measurement,
it's a
of,
measurement.
Of moment to moment, of event to event, of happening to happening, and also from point A to point B. And so also time distance. So now just imagine all of that. You remember you saw this void universe. And then here's this entity, this extreme intelligence, a potentate who always existed. Now, that's hard to imagine, anything that always existed. Isn't that kind of hard to imagine?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and then here now imagine this, that he spoke everything into existence in that universe. That... And we called it creation. And so going back to verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, these people all had different, the Greeks and the Hebrews, they had different definitions of the Word. Some called the word sustainer, some called the word the message, some called the word divine essence, but here it's a name for the Lord Jesus Christ, name for the Lord Jesus.
Oh, Logos, too.
Right. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, you know, you have those out there today that continue, even with this passage. I mean, that's really clear. Can you get any clearer than that the Word was with God and the Word was God?
No.
Okay, so people say, well,
the essence of God and was God himself.
Right. But you'll hear people that will argue the point, well, he's the Son of God, but he's not God the Son. No, that's not what it. That's not what it says here. And I had a young fellow who tried to tell me that Christ never came into existence until he was born of Mary. And so I took him through Scripture, and by the time it took me an hour, a little more than an hour, and he told me that he learned more in that hour studying the Scripture than all of the years he was doing catechism. And so now it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men.
So the Bible says he's the creator, Jesus Christ, Logos, the Word of God, is the creator, God.
And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What is the darkness?
evil. It's the absence of the light.
What would you call the darkness today? In last week when we had that, the message where it was Baal, Moloch, and woke. Baal, Moloch, and woke. What the so-called woke movement today. Would you say the woke movement comprehended it not?
Doesn't come close to comprehending the Word of God.
So do we have, is the light still shining in us?
The light is shining.
All righty.
It is in every born-again believer because each and every one of us has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God placed there by Christ himself.
So
we have become the sons and daughters of the living God.
So what we just read here takes us back past, we know, way past 6,000 years, way
right.
past 6,000 years. But let's go back about 6,000 years to Genesis chapter 3 and read one verse, verse 15.
All right. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
All right, now that verse is called an evangelium. Do you know why it's called an evangelium?
Proto. It's the first part of the gospel.
Right. And so here now, when we take a look at who is the seed of the woman, first of all, this is an unusual passage because the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to Christ, but the woman don't have a seed. How do you explain that? Well, it's because Christ didn't have a human father.
Father, right.
Okay, and so here, when we talk about here, he's not talking about Eve, he's talking about Mary, huh?
Right.
And so
her seed was Jesus in that sense.
Right. And so, and the seed, who is the seed of the serpent? Seed of the serpent, he answers that in John chapter 8, when Lord Jesus makes it very clear. Today, you know, we call them Democrats, we call them liberals, we call them, but all of those that have denounced the Lord Jesus Christ, who embrace everything that God calls sin, in the apostate church. The apostate church is the seed of Satan.
Well, it would be John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Absolutely. So, and they are today, the wickedness and the evil within what we call, and that includes the fake news media, all of those that support everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. The world, the National Council of Churches, are absolutely apostate to the absolute core. And so, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, let me see. I'm in the wrong.
I think you wanted 10 through 15.
Yeah, Isaiah 7, 10 through 15.
Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good.
All right, so now why didn't Ahaz, he said, I will not ask, and neither will I tempt the Lord. It sounds like he's being pious, doesn't it? But in fact, that's not what he's doing. He did not want to know what God had to say. He was
kind of trying to avoid the whole issue, right?
Well, I think he was afraid of what God may tell him. You know, maybe he was afraid of what God was going to tell him. He needed to do something he didn't want to do. So, listen. If God says to you, ask, if he tells you, gives you an order, do you say no?
No.
No, not ever, right?
No.
And so...
And let me tell the listeners out there, when God does ask, you will know. People ask me, how do you know? When he called me to be a pastor, it was so clear. It's hard to explain the whole thing. It happened. It was almost traumatic. It was electrifying. I had no doubt of what was going on, but it scared the blazes out of me for a little while. And it was like, did that really happen? And yeah, so if he calls you, you're pretty much going to know.
All right, so there are people today. I've got a commentary here that has it's full of errors, because in this commentary... it says the application here is to, the primary application is to Isaiah's two sons. The secondary application would be to the birth of Christ. Now, there's some real major problems with this commentary here. First of all, they're saying that the definition of the word there, virgin, is Bethula, but it's not. It's Alma. And what does that mean? Well, Alma, okay.
Married virgin.
Alma means never to have known a man. Never to have known a man, okay?
And since she was betrothed, that makes her a married virgin.
Well, if you get, now Bethula can mean either a virgin, it was used for Rebecca, or it can mean just a young woman. It can mean just a young woman. But here, in the Greek, it's Parthenos, before never to have known a man. Now, why could it not be referred? Because if you read over in Isaiah chapter 8, it's talking about the birth of, and it has a strong application there, the birth of Isaiah's two sons. And that, like it says here, before they, this part applies to them. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon the people and upon the father's house. And those days have not come from the day that Ephraim departed of Judah, even the king of Assyria. And so he tells you there, let me go over. And I went to the prophetess and conceived and bare a son, and then said to the Lord, call his name Maher Shalahazabaz, before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches, Damascus and spoils of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Syria. So it has like an application there, but how do we know that it couldn't possibly be the sons of Isaiah? Because it says his name will be Emmanuel, and the sons of Isaiah.
God with us. Emmanuel is God with us, and that sure wouldn't apply to a human being.
Well, Isaiah's son was Maher Shalahazabaz. That's not at all like Emmanuel, okay?
No.
And so here, we know that, we know that we got to stop because we're up against a break, and we know that the lines are open, folks. We got to get some pledges in. If we don't, Joe and I being old, we might choose just to give up the ghost right here on the program tonight. I feel like giving up the ghost on the program. Believe me, I feel like it. Okay. All righty. Right now we're... $4,500. We need $4,500 to meet our goal tonight. $4,500. Okay, we'll be back right after this.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna
take it anymore. We haven't taken it in the last 50 years, and we're not about to start now. We're going to keep pushing back against communism. Thank you, Lisa, 125, Jerome, New York, 300, Bob in the Queens, 500, Linda in California, 100, Beverly, New York, 200, Teresa in Dallas, 100, Tony in Toronto, 125, Mike and Peggy in Oregon, 50, Eddie in California, 50. Betty in Michigan, 100. And John in Minnesota, 77. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now we have somebody else that ain't taking it. He's not taking it anymore. Him and his three brothers, Lloyd Benson. Hey, Lloyd.
Hi there. It's Lloyd Brunson.
Yes. It is good to have you here. You've come to the right place tonight.
Great. Thanks.
Tell us about it. First of all, let me ask you, did you watch today the January 6th Select Committee hearings, their last hearing. Did you by chance get a chance to catch that?
I heard about it. It's pretty poetic, I think.
It was a disaster.
You can fall in it yourself, right?
Yeah, I watched it. You know, it made me sick. Those people are such professional liars. You know, I tell you what, if I were king for today, I would want every one of those would be in that dirty jail in Detroit where their patriots are at, where the decent people who were there for doing the right thing, because that election was stolen. I mean, anyone that says it wasn't stolen was a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them. We've got more evidence than you can shake a stick at. But that's what your lawsuit's all about, isn't it?
It's about, actually it's not, but it can do the job as if it were, because it's about the lack of investigating when 100 congressional witnesses with a mountain of evidence present a case and the motion to investigate and they refuse to do it, they need to be removed for a security breach. And so that's what the case is about. It's suing every single member that didn't vote in favor of a 10-day investigation. And so they breached our national security. They gave aid and comfort to enemies of the United States. They failed to defend the Constitution against foreign and domestic enemies. So our case is about the oath of office and how they violated their oath, and they committed treason, and they need to be removed. And this case gives the U.S. Supreme Court the power to remove 385 members of Congress. In addition to that, they can remove a sitting president and vice president and bar them from holding public office the rest of their lives on any level, right down to the local level in the United States.
Well, that's what they're trying to do to President Trump. And
that's right. Well, that's what can happen to them, and the Supreme Court has the power to do that to them. It's pretty poetic, I think. Isn't there a scripture about digging a pit for your neighbor and you fall in it yourself?
Well, I know they have the power, but do they have the courage? That's the question.
They not only have the courage, but they know that they don't have any choice. Three of the justices have voted in favor of previous elector vote challenges in the Supreme Court. The three that voted against them were the Trump appointees, and maybe they did that because they were appointed by Trump. Well, now they have been threatened, you know, Kavanaugh, we're going to get you, Kavanaugh, we're going to get you, Gorsuch, we're coming after you, and they have been threatened. They're not safe where they are, and this gives the Supreme Court the power to not only defend their own lives and their families' lives, but to defend the Supreme Court from being stacked and to save us from a very destructive course we're on. So I think it's since it's not about the outcome of the election, it's not about who won, but it's about removing a national security breach, then I think we have a very good chance of it being 9-0. I think evidence of that is the United States Solicitor General took over the U.S. Attorney's position and signed a waiver waiving their right to do anything to stop it from going into conference and coming out of conference. So they waived their right to file an opposition. They didn't have to do that. They could have filed it. She could have filed an opposition. She could have very easily asked for an extension. And instead, she waived their right, her defendant's rights, to file an opposition to the petition before it goes into conference. So that, and then they set the date for conference of January 6th. Now, because it's a national emergency type petition, the U.S. Supreme Court has the full power, and they know they do, to completely adjudicate. They have complete power to take the complete lawsuit and issue and order the reliefs, which would be removing them from office and barring them. And also they have the power to add 100 John Does, 1 through 100. They have the power to add others to that list. They could send special broadcasting teams to the media to take over just like a receivership in a bankruptcy until they are able to replace the licenses with people who are going to keep their oath of office. The federal communications directors have taken an oath to the Constitution, and they need to be held accountable. And when a broadcast team does anything that would degrade or defame the Constitution or support a breach in our national security, then they need to be subject to cancellation and cancellation of their licenses, and the Federal Communication Commission has dropped the ball on that, so this could clean it all up.
I was just amazed. I was so amazed that they did that. I was just that. So now, I'm looking at this. The very fact that you guys got that to where it's at, that's an act of God, I think. It really is.
It absolutely is. Our lives, we can see every step of our lives from when we were children have brought us to this point. Every step has brought us to this point. And one miracle after another. We'd hit a roadblock, we would prayerful and work hard, and ideas would come to us like revelations to show us how to work it so that we could end up in the Supreme Court. The last blockage was the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals wouldn't make a decision, and we felt like we were dead in the water. But inspiration and prayer and perspiration, and we believe it was revelation that we were able to see that there was a way to the Supreme Court with a special Supreme Court Rule 11 that has not ever been used since the Nixon administration by the U.S. government. So this has never been done before. A Supreme Court Rule 11 emergency petition has never been docketed since the Nixon administration. So this is, we see one miracle after another, absolutely.
All right. 888, this is our pledge week, so I have to from time to time give the numbers out. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Folks, if we're going to keep bringing you programs like this one right here, we really need to hear from you tonight. We really do. Let me ask you this, Lloyd. What was it, that your four brothers, or your three brothers and yourself, you got together and you were in agreement. What was it that convinced you guys you needed to do this?
Well, one of the brothers has been in court a lot, representing himself. So he knows how to represent himself in federal court, state court, and he's even successfully docketed two Supreme Court petitions. So his experiences made it possible, and he was the idea man. He says, let's get a lawsuit going. I have the ability to do it. And he asked us if we would participate. We said, sure, we would. So the three of us working together with different skill sets were able to accommodate him in preparing all the legal documents. I was a plaintiff on a case that's still in federal court that's alive, that has not been dismissed. It's identical to the one that made it to the Supreme Court. So part of the strategy was to have two going. At the same time, we knew one would get there before the other, and I'm glad we did that.
All right. That's amazing. Now, sometimes, is your brother a lawyer?
No.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes people that aren't, regulated to the bench, they can do things that lawyers can't do, can they not?
Well, what he found is that he studied rules of civil rules of procedure for state and federal, and he found out that the attorneys were not practicing their own rules. So he stuck to their rules and the Constitution, showing them that he had every right in the world for us to file complaints in federal and state court, and they had to say yes. They tried to block me, and we took them to task on it. We took the federal court when they blocked. They actually ordered the issuing of my summons and complaint to Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, and about, 385 others, right? They started doing it, and then the federal judge canceled it, called it back, and called it a mistake, a clerical error. So we took him to the 10th Circuit. We took his court to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. They didn't help us, so we took both courts in a civil lawsuit against two federal courts to state court. And after we did that, they not only unblocked my case, but they filed it for me, and then they ordered the clerk to issue the 388 summons and complaints. So that case is still alive. But meanwhile, that took a lot of time. So meanwhile, my brother Rollins' case is at the Supreme Court right now, docketed for a January 6th conference where the nine justices go in. They've been distributed. They've had distributed the petitions that actually you can get at 7discoveries.com. You can get copies of that, but they've distributed the petitions and they've reviewed them. And in the conference, they will take a vote. The nine justices will vote, and if four of them vote in favor of the Constitution, it'll move forward. We only need four out of the nine. If we have nine votes and four say move forward and five say no, it still moves forward.
All right, so we've got to one. I've got here in front of me a copy of a letter, and I've got the Supreme Court's address. and that is Supreme Court of the United States, one, the number one First Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20543. Now, folks, you can go up to our website, wrwl.org, and you can pull down a copy of the letter that is written, and it's very simple, and all you need to do is sign this and mail it to the Supreme Court. Now, you wanted the folks to mail also a copy to you, did you not, Lloyd?
Yes, people are doing that, so we have a copy. It's like a receipt, and if they could stick a dollar in there, that'd be great. That'd help out.
All right, we'll be sending you something. I'll send you more than a dollar, my friend. But I am so glad.
David versus Goliath, Pastor, and as I listened to the conversation, being able to do things that the highly trained professional soldiers, you know, couldn't do. These guys with the Lord's guidance and help, it just like David and Goliath, they're going after the impossible, but with faith, all things are possible. So to me, it's quite a testimony.
Okay. You know, let me ask you this, Lloyd. We know what happened. All of these cases where people, all the election fraud all over the country. I mean, it was like in your face. It's like, who are you going to believe? The fake news media or your lying eyes when you're watching it go right down in front of you. And it was like in your face. So when you had all this evidence and the courts, you would take it into court and the courts were afraid. The courts were being told, if you do that, you're going to have burn, loot, and murder, or what they call Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. They're going to be on your doorstep. They're going to be setting your building on fire. You better back off. Don't do it, right? I mean, that's what the courts and these black-robed cowards, they lost. They had no courage to stand up. Mike Pence said this, that he had no choice, but according to the Constitution, that is not true. Tell us why.
That is absolutely correct, because fraud vitiates everything. It's obvious you don't certify an electoral vote when you don't even know it's a real electoral vote or not. It's just complete, absolute nonsense. Now, let's talk about the justices. Three of the justices have voted in favor of those Trump-related lawsuits that came to them. And that was Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito. And John Roberts, they voted in favor of those. So we've got three, I believe, already in our camp, okay, because this is only about the oath of office. Now, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Barrett have been threatened since then. Remember Chuck Schumer saying, we're coming after you, Kavanaugh. We're going to get you, Gorsuch. And they've been threatened. The court's been threatened to be stacked. There's a lame duck Congress right now that could be doing dirty stuff right now, which they are. And so it's time and ripe, and the Supreme Court has the power to protect themselves, their families, the Constitution of the United States of America, and all citizens that want an honest vote. I tell people, if you know a Democrat that you've been butting heads and you can't agree on anything, tell them about this case, because this case is going to remove plenty of people that they would like to see removed and plenty of people that you'd like to see removed. This is replacing Republicans and Democrats with opportunities for those, and then this will also strip immunity. So from now on, if the court does the right thing, we won't have candidates that believe that they're immune from knowing and following the Constitution. So this is an incredible opportunity for the justices to be the greatest heroic justices in the history of America, U.S. Solicitor General to go down in history as a hero, and it's a time where people can be involved, and every letter that goes to the Supreme Court, I believe, they file it. They make copies of it, so you're part of history.
All right, very good. Mark in New York pledges 100. Carol in Philadelphia pledges 200. So if they get enough letters in there, you're right. Look, that court realizes the three that you just mentioned, Barrett, and the ones that were threatened. They all realize,
Kavanaugh, Gorsuch.
Yeah, they all realize that if Biden continues for the next 2 years, that he's going to stack that court. They're going to find a way to stack that court.
Well, not only that, everyone that was appointed by Trump or supported Trump, they've already made a public statement that we're insurrectionists and we're enemies of the state and enemies of democracy, and we need to be dealt with that way. So this is life or death, and I just can't imagine the justices. It needs to be a 9-0 vote because it's not about anything but the Constitution and the oath. I've never seen more Democrats in my life wave the Constitution and declare that their oath of office was so sacred to them. Well, now with this removing their immunity and removing every one of them that breached their oath, they should feel like a justice is served.
Absolutely. So what we've got to do is we've got to get these letters into that Supreme Court. We've got to pray. Pray for you guys. And we've got to get you on the radio or TV all across the country. People, you got to get your message out. And
sure, we're doing it now. Now, Ken here. Ken, are you on the phone? You've started in
yes,
here
sir,
in our
I've
community.
Been waiting
in
for
my neighborhood.
To the prayer shout a prayer amen plan. For you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Loy and I, we actually are neighbors in Cedar Hills, or have been for a number of months. We sat in the same church meetings in the same pews for a considerable amount of time. I used to be a city councilman in Cedar Hills, Utah, where Loy is from. And we have a website called CedarHillsCitizens.org. That's CedarHillsCitizens.org. We are trying to support our friends and neighbors, the Brunsons. And what we've got at that website is a proclamation and invitation. This Christmas, we the people can give Jesus a present. Us. We the people need a miracle to save our country. And this Christmas, that we can give Jesus a present, our hearts. And at the same time, we can pray that this gift helps to save America. We've decided that we're going to support the Brunsons with prayer and fasting and repentance. Now, repentance is kind of a tough word for a lot of people, but really all it means is to turn back to God. And we've got a lot of hearts that have done things that they probably shouldn't have. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so Barbara and I, yesterday, we were fasting for Loy and his brothers and the Supreme Court justices. And we actually decided we had to give up some of our favorite little sins, too, because we think it's time to show God our hearts and plead for his forgiveness on this land. There's a great scripture, and then I'll turn it back to you, that I just love about this. Hold on one second. If my people, this is from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God has given us a promise. A generous and kind promise to this nation. And if we'll pray for the Brunsons and we'll pray for those Supreme Court justices, I believe this is like the parting of the Red Sea. I don't know if you know this. This is just a quick little aside here. I'm a filmmaker myself, and I interviewed Rabbi Daniel Lappin, and we talked about what happened to the children of Israel when they were backed up with their backs to the Red Sea, and the greatest army in the history of the world at that time was coming down on them and was going to destroy them. He said that according to their Jewish tradition, that they had to walk out into the water up to the middle of their chest before that miracle would take place. And I'd suggest that that's the same kind of thing we need to do. We need to walk out into that water with faith and believe in the miracles that God can perform. And I believe that God will hear our prayers and heal our land if we'll do our part. And I know you, Pastor Sanders, when we spoke a couple of days ago, you said that you were thinking about doing the same kind of thing and started at the new year. And we talked about it and decided, hey, we can be praying and fasting and repenting between here in Christmas and from Christmas onward and into the new year until this issue with the Brunsons gets solved in the Supreme Court. And so, anyway, I think anybody and everybody can support the Brunsons in the Supreme Court with prayer.
What is the address? I know we're going to send a copy of this letter to the Supreme Court. Where do we send it to, the copy of it to the Brunsons?
You can send it. There's an address on the the docket, but you can also send it to 9779 North Ferguson Drive, Cedar Hills, Utah.
Cedar Hills, Cedar.
84062. So it's 9779 North Ferguson Drive. That's F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N Drive, Cedar, C-E-D-A-R, Hills, H-I-L-L-S, Utah.
84062.
That's it.
All right. Very, very good. We will make sure
what
that.
What was the zip code on the D.C. address, that number one First Street?
Joe, you can go up and look on our website and pull the letter down. There's a letter that's already written up.
Okay, it's already there. Got
it's a sample letter. And, of course, you could add to that, too, if you want to. But anyhow, that address is Supreme Court of the United States, number 1 First Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20543. And then that sample letter's got all the justices listed there, which is very good.
And Pastor Sanders, if you don't mind my just repeating, as long as people got their pencils going, cedarhillscitizens.org.
Uh-huh.
Cedarhillscitizens.org is where we have the proclamation and invitation to the nation to pray, and in behalf of the Brunsons and the Supreme Court, there's some very interesting writing there that might be encouraging to faithful followers of the Lord.
All right. Thank you. Very good. 888, folks, listen, the lines are not ringing. We've got to get those lines ringing, I'm telling you. We do have... Steve in Minnesota pledges 200, and Sal in Chester, PA pledges 100. Thank you, thank you. Okay, all right. Now.
Lloyd, can I ask a question?
Yes.
I don't mind looking at this. If the Supreme Court tackles this, we've got the majority of our Congress and Senate on the wrong side of the fence. Wouldn't this create a little bit of a constitutional crisis?
No, it would create a lot of vacancies that could be filled by the states and special elections. And when they fill those seats, they would have to realize that they could end up in the same position as those they're replacing, because we would then have a solid Article 6 of the Constitution is very clear. It says that our representatives and officials right down to local level shall be bound by oath. So that's what we want the Supreme Court to do, is strip the illegal and unconstitutional immunity statutes with this petition. And in so doing, that would cause the righteous, more righteous people to run for office, and the heroic type people that would lay down their lives for the Constitution of the United States and freedom. Those are the kind of people that would not shirk their duty and run from a binding oath. And that's what would replace those who have been removed. So I think it could be a very positive, exciting thing.
So
that
they could run with a limited number of senators and Congress creditors.
They could. Well, they could also just have a break until they get those seats filled with the right types of people. Someone had a vision a few years ago, and I it was amazing. They were talking about how they saw that most of the Congress seats were empty. And then they saw that there were people coming in filling those seats, and there were farmers and electricians.
Lloyd, we're gonna go to a hard break. Hang tight. We'll
sure.
be back.
You bet.
Right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. Be right back. One more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program,
you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.